Accession number 12710, Mr. John Avery, Reel 22.
J. Avery, Reel 22. When you were in Shuri Camp in 1944, Mr. Avery, had you at that stage any notion that you were to be an assault division in the invasion of Europe?
Oh, well, we knew we were preparing for such things, like, you know, as Rome has got around, you know, a little bits of here and bits of there, you know. You knew it was something big that was coming off. You see, and as I say, we got our carriers well equipped. But while I was there at Shorey Camps, like, we there was quite a few of us from our from the mortar platoon and different things. We sent down to Colchester on a driver mix course. You know, go through all the thing, like, you know, which we never had done before, like, and I never did nothing in the desert like that. We just...
This was maintaining your vehicle.
On your own, you say, but when we're in the desert, well, we did the best we could, but there was always somebody to pick it up in the desert and do it. But as I say, that's where we went down to... Colchester and did a driver mix course. Got extra money for a driver mix course, like. And while we were down there, there was a raid on. We should have seen them scuttling it. When we were still in bed, you know, like that. And this sergeant come dusting around, like, you know, he says, "Come on, get out, everybody out." And that was me after, I've heard him mention his name, Bobby Van, me and him sleeping in the same bunker, you know, right on top. Oh, I said, "Get away, Sergeant, man, get away," he says. "You'll only hit you once, can't hit you twice." So, he says, come on, he says, "I'll put you in the chest." Oh, he says, "Get away." Anyhow, he got down and says, "Right, there, we get there." He gets away from us, the way from us. I don't know where they went to. So Bob says, "Well, she went down." In this big yard, there was big wagons laid there. There were wagons there, so we just piled into one of them wagons and laid down there and went to sleep. The airhead was out and got up in the morning. One thought was being missing. It was in the back of the... the wagon. Nay.
Was that the attitude of many of you towards actions like that? That you didn't scaze or you didn't...
Why? Where, it didn't matter. Where you run? We used to say, "You're getting shelled." Some people want to run away to another place. I said, "He might run in that place and he might just hit that place. If he's going to hit this, he'll hit it. And there's no doubt about it. It's going to be a lot. You'll get it, no matter where you run to. So if you stand still, if you stop where you're at, you're either gone or you're safe." That was our attitude. Aye. Well, like, as I say, like it did that, we always stood by that, Bobby Van and us. We just stopped there. We couldn't move. It played off for us. As I say, I can go back two or three times with it, me and him. We were driving before we got the carriers out in the desert. We had three tunners. We were taking mortar bombs across it. They weren't fixed to the carriers then. And Judy started shelling, all out, and we just jumped down and laid down. We didn't stop in the truck, because if we did, catch the truck, we might not need a chance at all. We just jumped out and lay on the flat on the bottom. And there were shells dropping all over. The one did catch Bob like this, made a just little piece as big as you. Reads your fingernail and cuts them there. That was one time. We were all right. But well, was another time we just stood still and we were all right. So two or three times we...
Did some men panic and try to run away while shelling or bombing was on?
Well, some you'd say that it hadn't been in the action long. I tell you, another place just come to me there. I was with, it could come into when I went there when I was with 2nd Army SQ, Sir Miles Dempsey. We were at Nijmegen. And I was taking two lorry loads of HQ there, 2nd Army HQ, while I was up to get a bath, like a shower. And while we were getting a shower, like, you know, coming out ready to go, did he start to shell? And just then I met Bob, had been part of him for a while, like, you know, with the going to the 2nd Army commander. Oh, my son talking. And them were running around like flies, like, you know, they tried to get on the wagon, under the wagon and away. If Bob was there today, he said, I told him, I said, anyone jumped on that wagon, I said, I'll put him on the charge. I did, I said, I'll put you on a charge. Run around, I said, stand still. I said, if you jump in that thing, I'd drive away, I said, you might drive straight into the water. They were dropping around about us, but they weren't on us. So we just stood still, like, you know, stopped where we're at, it was all over.
Did you find that this was a tendency for young, inexperienced soldiers to run?
Well, they didn't know what to do, really. See, some of them, they got that shit, you see, the bombs dropping around them. They were frightened for they were going to drop where they're at. If they go to frighten it up with that, they might frighten run along there and just drop straight into it. You're either one way or the other. And I said that was another flick. Like, you know, you just, where you just stand still.
In your training at Shirley Camp, had there been any changes? Were you being taught anything new in relation to what you'd had been trained or the way you'd been trained in the past?
Well, yes, because desert warfare was different to close country fighting, like, you know, you see. Well, in the desert, like, you were wide open, sort of stuff. Well, in the invasion, like this, trend, you know, in our country, like just the same as France, country, the same sort of thing. Woods and one thing or another, like, you know, going through villages and one thing or another, like, you know, that's the thing. And as I maybe mentioned it once, we were doing a thing like that, and you used to have these umpires, like, going out and out with that, you used to have a white armband on. And you would see them standing around all over, dotted all over.
This is the one that put you out of action?
Aye, just. He'd the carrier with one of them plastic flash bombs, like, you know. Took you out of action. Out of action. Can I go home now?
What was your attitude? Again, you'd been through the desert, quite a lot of severe fighting, Sicily. Here you were back in England, and you're going to be thrust to the forefront again. Mm. What was the general attitude of your people?
Well,
because there was other people, and obviously many soldiers in England have never been anywhere.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know, you got it, like, you know, just the same as you. You were, as I say, you were that battalion, that Dave. You seemed to be like you had to be there. Because, as I say, every action that was going, we were on it.
So was your attitude that it was right that you should be there because of your experience?
No, like to myself and one or two of the lads, I would say, let somebody else have a go, but they used to say, well, you're all sending the winning team in first. I said, let a go or two in each time. Just gee yourself up. Let another goal in first.
Were you meeting any units around you who were obviously going to be in the same situation as yourselves, but had not been out of England yet? Were you meeting people?
No, well, I can't remember. There's only one unit I really that was out up in the Ferryfield, when the 56 diff. Them lads, that was the only unit that really come in contact with it. I never knew they were fighting in the desert, till we handed our carriers over.
You hadn't met any Americans yet?
No, not there. I'd met them in Sicily, but never met them in the fighting we had. No. Because we went right from there. The beach is right to the, you would call the place. We were about 30 days in the front line, Tilly. That's the place. We went there. Got right to there. That's when I left the battalion. When we got there.
Where did you go to after Shuddy Camps? We'll come to that later, won't we? Where did we go to after Shuddy Camps?
After Shuddy Camps, we did all the training there, round about that way, Averill and that district. We moved down to this Nightingale Wood.
This would be coming close to D-Day.
Yes. And while we were down in Shuddy Camps, all the cooks, all our group was cooked by Yankees. The guards was all done by Yankees.
This is in Nightingale Wood?
In Nightingale Wood. All done by things. What's the deal?
What was the reason for that? Did you ever know, find out?
Well, there was all sorts of reasons. Keep it in sort of style and what you mean. If you try to get away, you showed yourself, didn't worry us.
This cause any problems with your Americans?
I don't think it did. Well, as I say, I never saw none. It could have happened with some of the lads, had a thing, but we got good first class males, better than we ever got knocked up, that was all good stuff.
What were you getting?
Well, the Yankee trays, you got, not like us, all in one tin sort of style, but it was on the Yankee trays, you got your tatties and all your stuff and this and that, proper meat, decent meat you got and everything. You sweet at another place, part of it. It was you could just go back to your place where you're at and sit down and eat it, Well, with the old Dixie, you spoon and scoop it out. Aye. As I say, then we just did our exercises, and going to a lot of briefing, go to a lot of GOPS places.
What was happening there?
Big maps, the coastline, photographs of everything that was taken of that particular, of Sword, Gold Beach, and Yunor and all them beaches that was there, told you exactly where they were going,
So they were giving you a complete picture of the invasion, as well as your own part in it.
Yeah. Exactly. You used to go there pretty regularly. If any fresh photographs come in, you should... They got you there, like, you know, on these big mission nuts, and you, and they give you the points, you know, the officer tell you what was here, what was supposed to be there, there's guns there, and this is that there, and, you know, these houses, the 2 houses, you generally see them on the television. And I never forget that, too. Them beaches straight on. Oh,
this was on your beach?
Didn't straight on. And, you know, he went all through that, like, you know, and he come back. We couldn't go out at night time.
So you were sealed into that area?
In that wood.
Did that have any effects on some of the people?
Well, didn't affect me, so I wasn't good about it. This talk about you couldn't get out. There was 1 or 2 we could get out, and then go and get a pint of tea and come back again.
So you personally
did get away? Yeah, out there, nobody stopped me. That's God's honest truth. There was a lad called Scotty, and he was a... This sergeant I was trying to tell you last week about, Morton Gray. He says, oh, the first time he said, hey, game to go. I says, how big game? I said, a game to go out to get a pint. So we just found out where all the main guards were, like, you know, scouted around. We found this edge, over this edge. We knew how far where to go. And cut over out onto the road into this little village.
Were the villages patrolled by the police as well, looking for?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you really. This night time and dark, I just go straight in and found out where the public house was in, like, you know. Covered all, no flashes and none. Oh, I'm taking off.
You took all your markers off?
Why, certainly.
Were there any facilities, although you're sealed in, were there facilities in the wood or in the camp for drinking and relaxing?
Well, yeah, that little bit of a canteen, like, you know, but it wasn't a great deal, you know. Then we got a order one night, pack up, like, you know.
Before we come to that, were there any problems? Again, you'd been away for so long, and you'd had one leave since you came back. Were there any problems of people going AWOL?
Oh, well, you heard that after, like, you know.
You can't recall any personal...
Not with us, like, you know, but... You heard people, they had gone over AWOL, like, you know. Well, this is going right through the thing before when it first went to... The Frenchman was down the Chip and Norton, some blood, like, you know. And someone we knew we were going out in the Far East, the Middle East. AWL, as I said, some shut themselves through the foot and, like, you know, to be kept in England, but...
But no cases
at your time. Them cases, they were shoved on the boat, on the ship and... thing. I don't know what happened to them after that, like, you know.
But from Nightingale Camp, you've got no...
No recollections. But you tell somebody you try to go. I don't know if it was true or not. You just didn't... You used to talk... a lot of things you was talking about maybe was untrue, you know. But as I say, it was something you talk about.
Were men, to your knowledge, talking about... home, because after all, you were in a situation where you were going to go into great danger again. Mm. Were men in any way affected by this?
Well, if there were, the lads never mentioned it, like, you know. They never really come out with it, which we all were, you know. As you know, Harry, you go went in action like that, you know yourself. you weren't by yourself, like, you know. There was hundreds besides, like, you know, besides you going there. You know, he felt a little bit. It's like maybe all these big artists on the stairs, butterflies, like, you know. But as I often said, once you got into the action, something to do seemed to go off you, like, you know. You weren't bothering then, you were looking for someone trying to kill you, trying to kill them, sort of style. That was it. But that's what I always, thought of. Yeah. I never thought about, panicking or things like that, because it got you nowhere. Because we're saying one or two, like, you know, but not then, but different battles where you got young lads, as you were talking about, coming up to us. They got themselves all panicked up and wanted to go dash here and dash there, like, you know. Did them no good at all, like, you know. And then lose their blob, you see, just hit them, put them out. Because they cause more trouble.
That was the usual procedure, that if they panicked on the spot, you hit them.
Well, yeah, I put them away, because you start shouting and that, and the enemy, you were a sitting duck. You just put them away, sleep. Yeah.
Before you got your final orders to move out of the wood, had you gone through any process of protecting your vehicles from water?
Yes, we did a lot of that, as I say before, like, you know, all that waterproofing. Went to these proper places, like, and tried them in Becks. And
how's that done?
Eh?
How is that done?
Well, all the parts was all waterproof, where the water get in. You know, your exhaust and all that, your pipe exactly, it come up and it all had bostic, and you know, it was all stuck on, like, you know, and all where the water would come in, like, you know, underneath, all that. That was it. Where the water, there was water in round where you'd buy your engine, sort of style. And
how did you what were you actually putting on them to protect
bostic,
them?
This bostic, aye, and that. And you just put that on. And put these extra pipes on your exhaust from the back up the thing above water. Well, I mean, say you carry it, like, you know, if you carry it, it was, say, 6 inches a foot above the water, so water didn't get in, you know, because if water got in, you would go, because your engine was just sitting in the back there in the thing. That was it. So, as I say, it was all you learnt the waterproofing, and you tried them out in things the same as we did in Egypt when we invaded Sicily. We did the waterproofing then we come back to England and we did it there, like, you know. We had an idea what to do, sort of style. And this, I don't know if it was a different stuff what we had from the desert, like, this seemed to go better on it. Like, you know, you could apply it better, like, you know.
So you got your orders, you said, one night. Do you recall about what time this was in relation to D-Day?
I couldn't tell you exactly. It wasn't night time, and it wasn't daylight. It was just on dawn. The moon was still shining, like, you know. Got the oddest thing. Went down, got onto the this landing craft, and all of a sudden it changed. The weather changed. Got down there, and the weather changed. Got the order to come back to Shorey Camps again.
Nightingale Camp.
Nightingale Camp. That was the 3rd of June, that was.
So you came off the ship back to the camp, did you?
Back to the camp again.
Was this because you were transport or what? Why?
Why was the reason? I couldn't carry it. You see, couldn't go because it was, as I say, it was rough and that. So come back into Nightingale Wood, and it was the 6th of June, I think, was when we went. Mildly on the canal. I remember going down this the same concrete ramp, like down into the onto the where the LTC tank landing craft was there, like, and we just run on and thing. Now we're on one, about 4th or 5th, like, on. When I was in Sicily, I was the first one to get off. Oof. Right again, the thing. Now, sir, when I was over 3 or 4 back, it's a bit better than it was last time, like, you know. But as I say, you got on. Went down.
What were your feelings now at this time?
Oh, but as I say, the butterflies, you know, your stomach was even up and down a bit, like, you know, like that. This is all before you go into the big rain or whatever you may say.
What was the scene at Southampton? Do you recall the scene?
Well, not really. There were quite a few London craft there, like, you know. All I saw was such as us for tanks and carriers, like, you know. Because they had these slopes down, like, you went down and straight onto the ship, like, you know.
Were there all carriers on your boat?
Yeah.
And were these your own battalion or other battalions
all
as well?
All our own lads. Because we were following our own.
When you got on, did you stay with your carrier, or were you moving around, or...?
On the ship. No, you just got on, yeah, on your carrier. You stop with your carrier. And you... They had a good idea with that. I think we got them in I'm not quite sure. When we invaded Sicily, these cans of oxtail soap and soap. They used to have you lit it. It went down the centre of the can and it warmed it up. It did well, like, you know, when it got right to the bottom and went out. It heated that soap up well, did it? It nice nut, you know. I think we had one or two of them, like, you know, while we were on the boat. And when we come in the morning, well, 8 hour, like, I think what time it was, some round about that time we went to 8 hour, or H1 and out cold. But we went on thing, and where we landed, like, there were stakes sticking out, like, you know, that...
This is on the French side?
On the French side, stakes sticking out, like, you know. There was a lot of bodies flying around, floating around, like, on the edge. Well, you didn't know who they were then, didn't you, till you found out they were the Marine commandos, like, you know. They went out there first to the mines, because so they were all mines along there with these stakes on, like, you know, and they were what called ringed mines, you know, ringed main sort of style. Just one and there's something in the lot went off or something, I don't know, something like that, I don't know. There was a lot of them lads. There must have been the lads that were floating around
What other recall have you got of the scene as you actually did land?
You'd see the course get nearer and nearer, like, you know. Just the same as you did in Sicily, you see it come down, and then the skipper of the landing craft dropped the thing, or
the ramp.
Ramp down he went, and off, first and off, and then he followed up, didn't mess about you, the engine was gone then, he says, run just straight off, straight onto the beach, just like in the way.
Did you have your full crew with you?
Yes, all the crew was on there.
And your mortar team?
All the mortar team was everything. We were loaded up with your bombs and everything, like, you know. The gun was in the carry, all ready to.
When you
if we'd been bugged, said, couldn't have gotten no further, like, you know, we could have use the mortars from the beaches, like, you know, bombs, like, you know, straight away. They didn't. We got up this cut and up onto the top. We got pretty well decent. And up this lane, I'll never forget it. Shells were flying right, left and centre, you know, in the